Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archeries Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Mental Floss History of the World, An Irreverent Romp Through Civilization's Best Bits by Eric Sass, is a popular world history survey written in the brisk comic style associated with mental floss. Rather than offering a specialist monograph or a textbook built around footnotes and historiographical debate, it condenses roughly 10,000 years of civilization into a fast-moving narrative of rulers, wars, religions, inventions, empires, disasters, and social change. Its purpose is not to replace academic history, but to make a wide historical landscape readable for general audiences who may find conventional surveys dense or impersonal. The book treats history as a sequence of consequential and often strange human decisions, using humor to keep major developments memorable. Its scope is global rather than national, moving across ancient societies, classical empires, medieval systems, early modern expansion, modern revolutions, world wars, and the contemporary international order. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a compressed chronological framework for 10,000 years of civilization. The book is built around the challenge of turning an enormous historical span into a manageable reading experience. Its organizing principle is broadly chronological, which helps readers see how earlier developments create conditions for later ones. Ancient river valley societies, classical empires, religious transformations, medieval political orders, maritime expansion, industrial change, and modern global conflicts are not treated as isolated trivia. They are placed in a sequence that shows recurring patterns of consolidation, disruption, adaptation, and collapse. This structure matters because a general reader often encounters history as disconnected names and dates. By arranging major events in an accessible timeline, the book gives readers a mental map of how civilization developed across regions and centuries. The compression inevitably means that many subjects receive only brief treatment, but that is also part of the design. The emphasis falls on orientation rather than exhaustive detail. Readers come away with a sense of where major episodes belong in relation to one another, which can make later, more specialized reading easier to understand. Secondly, humor as a tool for making historical information memorable. The most distinctive feature of the book is its irreverent tone. Mental floss writing typically favors wit, quick framing, and surprising turns of phrase, and this approach shapes how historical material is presented. Humor is not merely decorative here. It functions as a memory aid by making complicated or distant events feel less abstract. A reader may not remember every dynasty, battle, or reform, but a sharply phrased explanation can make the underlying significance easier to retain. This is especially useful in world history, where unfamiliar names and compressed timelines can overwhelm non-specialist readers. The comic style also lowers the barrier to entry by signaling that history can be approached with curiosity rather than intimidation. At the same time, the tone requires balance. Some historical subjects involve conquest, exploitation, genocide, and mass suffering, and a light voice cannot fully carry their moral weight. The book works best when humor clarifies absurdity, irony, or human vanity without suggesting that serious consequences are trivial. Thirdly, a global scope that resists a single nation-centered history. The book stands out from many popular histories by attempting a broad international range, rather than building its story around one country or civilization. Its subject is civilization at large, so it moves among the ancient Near East, the Mediterranean world, Asian empires, European states, imperial expansion, global warfare, and modern geopolitical shifts. This wide angle is important because world history is shaped by contact as much as by separate development. Trade routes, conquest, migration, religious diffusion, technological transfer, and imperial competition all connect regions that are sometimes studied apart. The book therefore encourages readers to see history as an interlinked process rather than a set of self-contained national stories. Its treatment is necessarily selective, and the phrase best bits signals that it highlights memorable and consequential episodes rather than presenting equal coverage of every region. Even with that limitation, the global frame helps correct the assumption that history progresses through one dominant civilization. It shows that power and cultural influence have shifted. Fourthly, empires, wars, and catastrophes as recurring engines of change. A major thread in the book is the repeated rise and fall of large political systems. Empires appear not only as collections of territory, but as mechanisms that organize labor, taxation, military force, religion, law, and cultural exchange. Their expansion can spread infrastructure, ideas, and administrative models, but it also produces violence, hierarchy, resistance, and collapse. The book also devotes attention to large-scale conflict, including major wars and episodes of mass destruction, because these events rearrange borders, economies, populations, and political legitimacy. In a survey written for general readers, wars can easily become a sequence of dramatic episodes. but their deeper importance lies in how they expose weaknesses in existing systems and accelerate new ones. Catastrophes, including genocides and world wars, force readers to confront the destructive capacities of organized societies. By presenting these events within a broad historical arc, the book suggests that civilization is not a steady march of improvement. It is a volatile process in which creativity, ambition, fear, and coercion are repeatedly intertwined. Lastly, a gateway survey rather than a scholarly deep dive, the book is best understood as an entry point into world history. Its value lies in synthesis, pacing, and accessibility, not in archival originality or detailed academic argument. This distinction is important for setting expectations. Readers looking for sustained analysis of a single empire, a full account of economic history, or careful engagement with scholarly debates may find the treatment too brief. The book often prioritizes what is memorable, surprising, or narratively useful, which can leave less room for nuance and competing interpretations. Yet that same selectivity makes it effective for readers who want to build a foundation before choosing areas for deeper study. A broad survey can reveal gaps in personal knowledge, clarify sequence, and introduce major turning points in a form that is easier to revisit. Its irreverent style also distinguishes it from more formal works, such as standard college textbooks. The practical benefit is orientation readers gain enough context to follow historical references, understand broad patterns, and decide which civilizations or periods deserve closer attention. In conclusion, The Mental Floss History of the World is best suited to curious general readers. Podcast listeners, students seeking an informal companion to coursework, and adults who want to repair a fragmented memory of history without beginning with a dense textbook. Its practical benefit is orientation. It gives readers a broad chronological and geographic framework, introduces major civilizations and turning points, and makes the scale of world history feel less forbidding. Its intellectual benefit is pattern recognition. Readers can see how empires rise and fail, how war and exchange reshape societies, and how political ambition repeatedly interacts with culture, technology, and belief. The book stands out in its category because it combines the breadth of a world history survey with the pace and wit of popular magazine writing. Compared with more academic surveys, it sacrifices depth and nuance, but it gains readability and memorability. Compared with trivia collections, it offers more structure and historical continuity. Its best use is as a gateway book, not the final word on any civilization, but a lively first map of the terrain. Readers who want rigorous documentation should supplement it with specialized histories, while readers who want an engaging overview will find its format especially accessible. If you would like to support Eric Sass, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.